promised land where you find wealth and happiness. Yes, the two can meet, marry, and be happy. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have an exciting show for you. I just can't wait. Yes, it is our seventh key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series. And in addition to that, we also have a very special guest from the law offices of Leslie H. Tain, PC from New York. We've got Leslie Tain joining us, and she will be helping us learn how to dump our debt, what to do when money and bills get to be too much for us to handle, as well as we're moving forward in the season. And I can't believe that kids are going back to school already. Here in Arizona, they're going back to school. Are they going back to school in your neck of the woods? I can't believe that already. Summer's winding down, and with kids back to school, that means we've got outlays of cash for books and clothes and shoes and all sorts of stuff. And then before you know it, we're going to be into the holiday season. So the next few keys are going to be essential. We're also going to learn how no seasonal exceptions after we break our budget this week. Next week, no seasonal exceptions is going to give us some great tools to manage those recurring events and how to do it with grace and style using the rules of etiquette, actually, to manage our money. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So this week we have Leslie Tain joining us, and she's just an incredible woman. She gives of herself, in addition to being an attorney that is a debt specialist and helps lobby on behalf of folks, she also volunteers her time as a puppy raiser and as a person who has a service dog. I am so excited and grateful to people like her that help other folks in need of service animals go through the very tough, I mean, think about it. It's one thing to get a puppy and raise a puppy, but imagine after all of that emotional attachment to be able to just give it away after a year so it can go help someone else. So it takes an extraordinary person who can do something like that. And I'm so excited that she has agreed to be a part of our show, because managing debt can seem inescapable, like we're going to drown in it. And it happens to the best of us. Goodness knows, my foray into debt wasn't the most successful when I was a younger woman. And for those of you who have listened for quite some time, you've probably heard this story over and over about me buying the money pit for my first home and then figuring out, well, if I can manage the monthly minimum payment, I can take on this debt. I can get this next credit card to fix up this house that was the money pit, like Tom Hanks and Shelley Long lived out in their movie. And so, you know, you get to a point, unless you can create a strategy on your own and have the intestinal fortitude to spend all your waking hours on it, it pays to listen to the advice of someone who can help you straighten out your debt, determine whether or not bankruptcy is right for you, and to help with those creditor calls and all sorts of stuff. So I'm really excited to have our next guest on. And so Leslie Tain is going to be joining us. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm excited to have you on, since we are getting ready to assess the mess and deal with our organic assessment of all of the receipts that we've been collecting this whole period of time, and actually do our break of the budget key. And right now, we might have gotten ourselves overwhelmed as we start looking through these receipts and start assessing the mess and figuring out where we are, or maybe potentially what we have done to ourselves or our family. And we might be coming to that startling realization that I've just crippled myself or my family and essentially our future with what seems to be inescapable debt. you know, I've got relatives that are chewing in my ear, oh, just file a bankruptcy and just forget about it and move on. But the bankruptcy laws have changed, haven't they?
Yes, they have changed.
So what kind of options do consumers have? You know, I'm a good person. I've been working all my life. I, for whatever reason, whether it was self-induced pleasure that got my debt up or catastrophic circumstances beyond my control, I've got some debt and I want to make good on it, but I just don't know how to do it, where to start. I got thousands of people calling me and they all want a piece of my hide and there's only so much to go around.
Well, that's true. When you get into a situation where you're at the point of considering bankruptcy, it can be very overwhelming. It's stressful emotionally. You're getting a lot of calls and a lot of pressure from your creditors. Perhaps your business isn't going as well, so your money isn't going as far as you need it to. So the key to determining what's best for you and your circumstances is to do some research. And that doesn't always include online research. Determine what it is that your short and your long-term goals are. What type of industry are you working in? Where are you headed in the future with your business? Because those factors will help you determine whether bankruptcy is even right for you. My clients consider bankruptcy as an option, but have considered other alternatives as better options for them. In the debt resolution industry, there are a number of other things that you can do to get yourself out of debt and retain a lot more control than you would have if you went through a bankruptcy. So talking to different professionals, and I really stress the word professionals because you shouldn't seek out advice from people who are non-professionals in this area. You should talk to your accountant or your financial advisor. You should definitely talk to a bankruptcy attorney, maybe two bankruptcy attorneys, because you'll always get a second opinion. And you should definitely talk to a professional, an attorney, whose sole concentration is debt resolution and bankruptcy alternatives. That's somebody who can help you determine if you can go about repaying your debts another way without having to file bankruptcy petition.
Now, what is the advantage of using an attorney for debt resolution versus all the commercials I see on television or all of the websites that say, you know, debt relief here, just a click away and I'll be in heaven and I won't owe anybody anymore?
Yes, I know the commercials and the advertisements and the letters and the mailings that people see are very enticing and it sounds terrific. And very often there are very good alternatives through debt settlement or debt resolution options that are legitimate. But unfortunately, there have been a number of unscrupulous practices over the last few years where businesses have come in without the best intentions and have taken advantage of innocent and stressed out consumers. So buyer beware under those circumstances. Find out the laws in your state. For example, in New York State, you have to be licensed by the New York State Banking Department. Many of these companies who come into New York and solicit New York residents are not. And the residents and the individual consumers don't even realize that. They don't know that. The other companies are located outside the states in Florida or Texas or Arizona or California. They haven't been in business very long. Their websites don't have corporate addresses on them. They're not located in the state in which you live in. You don't know who you're talking to over the phone. They're not professionals. When you seek out an attorney, that person is licensed. They have to follow very strict ethical guidelines in managing and handling your funds and your money. Consider that you should be very wary about giving your financial information to somebody who solicits you over the phone, somebody you can't go after. If something should happen to your money or your finances or your credit, who are you going to turn to? Your state attorney general when this company is located outside the state? Or to that state's attorney general when you don't live in that state? It's impossible at those junctures to get your money back, and very often these consumers end up in worse positions. And it is scary, but that doesn't mean that there aren't legitimate companies out there. There certainly are. And there are companies and organizations that are licensed and bonded, and there are professionals like myself who are attorneys with practices dedicated solely to helping individual consumers resolve their debts different ways, where they have your, as the consumer, your best interest in mind when we go ahead and we're working to resolve your accounts.
Here's a question I have. So the thought is pretty daunting in and of itself, and a lot of people don't have high opinions of attorneys. They're concerned that, oh, they're going to charge me all of this money, and I already don't have money, and so I'm afraid to go to an attorney. How would you comparison shop for an attorney or compare fees? Because I hear this one wants upfront money. When I call this one debt relief service, they say they have attorneys on staff, but I don't know. I'm not.
Well,
really,
that's all red flags. All red flags. Good points you're bringing up. Number one, there's a law, federal law, that says you cannot charge upfront money for debt settlement. Absolutely illegal. As soon as you see somebody charging you upfront money, a percentage of the debt, or taking any money before they've done any work for you, that you should cross them off the list and not even have another conversation with them. Secondly, as far as dealing with attorneys goes, yes, you could talk to different attorneys and find out what their fees are to help you resolve your accounts. A contingency basis where an attorney works and earns money based on a percentage is ideally the best way to go. See if you can get a free consultation. Our firm offers free consultations. We know you're in debt and don't want to make things worse. Is that the situation? Make sure you can go in and meet somebody face-to-face, that they have an office, that they're located close to your home, that there is an ethical obligation above and beyond just them doing the right thing. And do not give anybody money up front for any of these kind of services. That's the biggest red flag right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome information. So as I'm working through letting my guard down and figuring out where to go, just picking up the phone and finding real people that I can communicate with is a good start to that then.
That's definitely a good start. And again, make sure when you're reviewing the paperwork that you look for corporate addresses. Are they trying to sell you something? Are they giving you guarantees that in this industry you can't give a guarantee? That's another red flag. Somebody tells you, I can guarantee I can get you certain numbers. It's impossible to guarantee what a creditor is going to do for you. First of all, without even calling your creditors, number one, and number two, creditors change their policies all the time. So anybody who's offering absolute guarantees in this area, that's another red flag. And really go with your gut instinct. Most people have good instincts and they can tell when it doesn't feel right. If it doesn't feel right and you're not comfortable, I would strongly recommend not going with that. Working with somebody over the phone in this area, that would not make me as a consumer feel very comfortable to give them my social security number, my bank account information, my credit card information. That would be something that I wouldn't be comfortable with as a consumer. I know that many consumers do work with the companies in that way. There are a lot of companies that are not available in the localized area. Maybe you live in a remote part of your state and it's not easy to get to the offices. But really do the research. Go online and Google the name of the company. See what you find out. See if there's any complaints about them. How many complaints were they resolved? And how long the company's been in business. Any of these companies who have been in business just a year or two or three, or, you know, they're located here, but that's not who you're really going to be talking to, and all the work isn't done in on location. All of those things should be red flags to making the decision that that's probably not the best road to go down.
Well, that's great information, and I have a bunch more questions for you, but first we need to have a word from our sponsors. So everyone sit tight. You are listening to Leslie Tain on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We have been talking about resolving that evil friend, that frenemy that we have, the lovely debt that we've accumulated, and we have joining us in the conversation has been Leslie Tain, attorney at law and debt resolution specialist. And Leslie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we were talking before the break about what we can do and steps that we can take when it comes to interviewing and vetting a potential debt settlement specialist to help us move the baggage and settle, get rid of, reduce, eliminate, whatever we can do to get rid of our mistakes of the past as we move forward. But sometimes, you know, we thought we were planning ahead and, you know, we go and we get credit insurance, this little bonus for just another, you know, 1 to 2% of our recurring balance that if we have an employment issue or disability issue, that it's supposed to take care of our balance for us. You know, they sell this mortgage reduction insurance, all kinds of different insurances on different types of credit. And I had a bad experience with it. I didn't have a large balance, but I forgot about it totally. I just happened to be looking at it. I had money when I was in between jobs, so it didn't occur to me to initially make the claim, but I thought, gosh, you know, it's taking me longer to get the job, to get the next job that I wanted to do. And I was waiting, and I thought, oh, you know, I saw that on there. I'm like, I've been paying this premium. I might as well make a claim. And I filled out all the paperwork, and I did it exactly as they said. And then they denied my claim. I mean, is this something that you hear of or have seen where folks have, you know, paid for this credit insurance and then it didn't work?
Well, there are restrictions on any type of insurance policies, whether it's credit insurance or mortgage insurance. And there's very strict guidelines that they have in order to even pay a claim. I'm not a huge fan of making extra payments for additional services through the credit card companies. My goal to teaching my clients is that we want to limit the amount of money and the items that we're putting on credit cards. And if you manage your money effectively, then you don't need that kind of insurance because you're not going to allow the balances to get to a point where it's above and beyond your means to pay them. So there's no reason to have that if you manage your money well. And one shouldn't be living on credit anyway going forward at this point in time. The world was, up until the last few years, was buy now, pay later. That is not what we teach anymore. Cash is king. You should be budgeting your money, putting certain amounts of money away for savings where you have 6 to 9 months, which is a very conservative number of living expenses in the bank. And another suggestion that we make is that you purchase the items that you can afford to purchase with cash, or if you're going to use a credit card, that you're going to pay it off at the end of the month. Carrying balances is a dangerous game because if you can't afford to pay it that month, who says you're going to be able to afford to pay it the next month? And waiting and counting your money before it actually comes in is a game that has caught up with a lot of consumers where they've been unable to pay. So if you manage your money well and you have a budget and you stick to your budget, which means you know what comes in and you know what goes out and you're very careful with your spending and you limit the impulse purchasing and you use your credit card either for very large purchases or for emergency purposes only, then the need for those type of insurance is just not necessary.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I've learned my lesson the hard way. I'm like, well, this was dumb. What a waste of my money anyway.
Often it is with these insurances. There are so many restrictions and limitations, It's really designed to make money. It's not designed to pay out. So under very limited circumstances, would you get a claim paid? And think about the time and effort it takes to fill out the forms and get involved, and then what happens when they don't pay. So it's a poor thing to rely on.
Yeah, and I, based on their criteria, I felt like I met the criteria, but who knows who was underwriting it on the other side of the fence. But in any case, they didn't pay for me, and for me it was a waste of money, and I felt very ripped off. I wound up I paid off the card immediately because it wasn't one that I needed, and I canceled the card, and I wrote a letter to the president of the company, who knows if he got it, but, you know, expressing my discontent, and what a shame it was that I trusted that company and I bought faithfully in a product that they offered, and it was like they sold me a lemon. And then they didn't even want to fix the lemon. And so
the key is understanding what the terms of any insurance is, and that's a life insurance policy, a mortgage insurance, a credit card, and any type of insurance, and really understanding what you're getting yourself into. Most people don't read the credit card details. I do, and I save all of the information that comes from the credit card companies, and I read it very carefully to understand what the terms of service are. And it's the same with any kind of insurance. Yes, there's a lot of things in bold, and you can just read the front page, but the key in any policy is to look at what the limitations are, not what they're going to pay out on, but what they're not going to pay out on. And that's what you need to know before you purchase anything, travel insurance, any types of insurance on anything. You need to know what they're not willing to pay on so that you understand whether the risk exists or not to take that insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, It gets kind of costly if you don't pay attention to that. And then, you know, I just think of all the time I wasted Xeroxing all of the stuff, sending it back, saying, but I meet your criteria. This is what you said right here. I have it right here. And I'm a good little saver of documents and information, and I always read the little Bible pages that they send you with their terms of service changes and how their interest rates are calculated. And yet I felt so defrauded by that company, I wouldn't use them again. Now, I have another question for you, because we've given out some great information and we've pled the case for why you want a qualified professional to be helping you that specializes in this, that does it every day, day in, day out, and has a track record, has a corporate office, has a physical location. And what if I'm embarrassed about visiting somebody in person? You know, I'm already embarrassed enough, and if I have to go visit somebody in person, then somebody's going to, you know, put a label on my shame or something like that. Is this something that I can do myself so I don't have to, you know, bear witness and go to confession, so to speak, and have to see
first
somebody
of all,
in person?
There is no shame in being in debt. Everybody has some sort of level of debt. It's a question of whether it's manageable. The shame is not doing anything about it. So I want to address that comment first. Don't be embarrassed about being in debt. The people that you're coming to, like myself, hold no judgment. We're no different than a doctor or a lawyer in other circumstances. We know you're a good person and you've always paid your bills and done the right thing. We know that things have gotten a little bit difficult, but you're seeking out the help. Feel proud of the fact that you're taking proactive steps to resolve your debt effectively and that you're seeking out the right person to come in and help you. Don't hide in your house and talk to this person over the phone who sounds like a fast talker who has all the answers for you. Go out and seek out proactively the right help. And there's no shame in that. You should be proud of doing something like that. I tell my clients that all the time. Be proud of yourself for taking the bull by the horns here and getting out of debt and not living with the stress of debt any longer. As far as doing it yourself goes, that's a common question that I often get from consumers. I get it from anybody who's seeking out services and considering what they read online, especially if they've done a lot of research. Yes, there's a lot of information online that says, yes, you can do this yourself and how to do it yourself. But in reality, you really can't do it effectively. You're not a professional. It's not your full-time job. You don't have the contacts that somebody like myself has. You don't know if the creditor is telling you the information is correct or not. Do you really know how much information you should or shouldn't be giving you? When they tell you you have to give them post-dated checks, is that really true? If they tell you that you have to give me an answer by 3 o'clock this afternoon or else, is that really something that you can live with and deal with? That's not how we operate, and that's not the type of people that we talk to when we deal with creditors. We talk to our contacts who we've dealt with for many, many years. They know us. They know our reputation. They know when I'm telling them that I'm going to pay on behalf of a client that it's going to happen. I know their parameters. I respect their work as creditors. I know they're trying to do the best they can. A lot of people get down on creditors, and in reality, they've lent you money. They deserve to be paid. We're not looking to screw a creditor out of their money. We're looking to make the process a lot more efficient and streamlined. You need to go back to work and do what you're supposed to do, take care of your family, mend the relationships that have gotten a little sour because of the stress in dealing with debt, and give it to the professionals to take care of. Does it cost you a little bit of money? It's going to cost you a little bit. It's not going to cost you a lot. But trying to do it yourself, the cost of trying to do it yourself exceeds the financial cost of seeking out the right kind of help. It's emotional. It's time-consuming. You have a job that you need to focus on. And so many times people come to me after the fact and they say, why are they coming after me? I thought I paid this. Or I don't understand what they said to me. Why is this happening? And that's because they took a creditor's word at face value. They didn't really know how to do this. It's not black and white. And settling in your debts, yes, your neighbor has done it. Yes, your neighbor got a great deal doing it. But that doesn't mean that it really was done right and that it's going to go away forever like it should. So if I can give somebody the best possible advice, that would be to go seek it out. And don't be penny wise and pound foolish. You got yourself into debt. It affects your entire life. It affects the future today, tomorrow, and 5 to 10 years from now. Don't mess with that. You wouldn't do surgery on yourself. You wouldn't necessarily change the oil in your car. So go seek out somebody who does this for a living, who can make sure that all of your interests, your family's interests even, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse's interests are well protected and insulated from creditors.
Well, this has just been a wealth of information, and it's been so wonderful to have you on, Leslie, and to be able to talk frankly about these things, because a lot of people have resistance and they just don't understand, or they're experiencing, you know, the emotions of shame or guilt, and they're embarrassed and they just don't know what to do, and they're in fear of taking that first step. And
I understand. The hardest part is the first step. The hardest part is the phone call and coming in. If people come in and they're shaking and they're crying and they're very emotional, but by the time they leave my office, they say, I feel so much better, like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I should have been here 6 months ago. Don't hide. There's no shame in having debt. The shame is not doing anything about it.
Well, Leslie, if folks want to be able to get a hold of you, if they're in the New York area and want to put you on their list of folks to vet, how do people get a hold of you?
There's a number of ways to get a hold of us. You can certainly reach us. We have multiple offices in New York, including a new one in Manhattan. But our main phone number is 631-470-8204. You can visit us on the web at www.attorney-newyork.com. That's attorney-newyork.com. You can certainly Google me, or we're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, we're on Pinterest. So please, and of course, you can find us anywhere on the web, and we're out there and happy to help in any way we can.
Well, it's been great having you on the show. And for those of you who are driving around and didn't have a pencil handy, never fear, unlockyourwealthradio.com is here, and on our guest show page, you will also find Leslie's contact information and links to her website and much more. Stay tuned, because we have the Keys to Riches coming up on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I am your money maven, your assist with the financial mostest. And it is time to get through that valley of death. And I am so honored and privileged that you're allowing me to be your guide through that valley of death. Unto the promised land of wealth and happiness. And we are going to do that with our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We are so thrilled to have you. And the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. We give you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt. How fabulous is that? Like today's show. Save and invest, building wealth holistically while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that 1 week at a time, 1 key at a time. And we are at our 7th key in the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And this is our Break the Budget key. This is an important key because what we do here forward with the rest of the keys pivots on how well we implement this key. And I call it Break the Budget because budgets fail. Think about it. How many times have you said you were going to do a budget and or did a budget and or fell off the wagon? Probably everyone. I know I have done that too. And what happens with budgeting, I mean, psychologically, it's pretty devastating to us when we fail like that. And it's kind of also the same reason why our New Year's resolutions rarely stick. And budgeting is like dieting. I kind of equated the two together. And if you think about it, it makes a whole lot of sense. If you are dieting and you've got a specific target in mind. So we usually set up budgets for specific targets because perhaps our money isn't going where it should be. We've buried ourselves in debt. We're not saving, and we need to for various reasons. So we go on to a budget, just like we go on to a diet to lose weight. And then when we get where we're going, like our goal weight, then we go off the diet. And then what happens when we go off the diet? The fat packs itself back on. Every time, without failing, sometimes when we go off our diet, we're even fatter than what we were. And the reason behind that is it's not something to go onto and off of. You know, we think of diets as specific targets to accomplish a certain goal. And that's how we think of budgeting, as a specific program that we invoke to achieve a specific goal. And once we achieve that goal and we go off that budget, or let's say, you know, we have an issue – like a piece of chocolate cake that calls our name, that siren of sweetness in the middle of the night, and then you must go raid the refrigerator. And then, you know, my girlfriend used to say, enjoy it today, wear it tomorrow. So that chocolate cake will now be squarely mounted on your posterior end. And when we're budgeting, if we see this dress or pair of shoes or these tools for our workshop that we just got to have, the latest tech gadget, everybody's got them except me. I got to have one. I got to have the latest, you know, smartphone, this, that, and the other, tablet, whatever. And then we get discouraged because we deviated from the plan. And when we fall off a budget, psychologically it can be pretty devastating to us, depending on what it is or why. And, you know, if you are on a budget and you have a financial emergency that takes you off your budget, that's even more devastating than if you just cheated and bought something that you probably shouldn't have bought. And another reason why I don't like diets is because they require sacrifice. And when we have to sacrifice, we have this mental hang-up where we're thinking about loss as opposed to focusing on our outcome and what it is that we truly desire. We're focused on what it is that we gave up as opposed to what it is that we gained. And budgeting and dieting sets us up for sacrifice. I can't have this. I shouldn't do that. And the rigidity of it, because it's specialized, it's, you know, crash diet, let's lose 20 pounds, kind of very finite. It doesn't serve us over time as our needs change. That's why this week's key is about breaking the budget. And what we do instead of budgeting is we create a healthy savings and spending plan. And for those of you who have been listening for quite some time, it's now time to pull out your assessment envelope from our second key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Service Financial Wellness Series, getting a little tongue-tied, She Sells Seashells by the Seashore. And we are also going to pull out our Dreams with Deadlines strategy as well. And we're going to work on that in our Nuts and Bolts. But the reason why a healthy savings and spending plan works, just like a healthy exercise and eating plan works, is because it's flexible. It's not rigid. We design it based on how we live, so right out of the gate, it's going to be more effective for us because it's going to be geared toward our specific lifestyle, not us having to mold our lifestyle into some constrained, finite instrument like a budget or a diet. And as such, because it's flexible, it moves with us. We are allowed to ebb and flow like the tide, lapping up on the shore. Our savings and spending plan can ebb and flow with our needs, more ebb, less needs, more flow. It's amazing how that works. But it, because it creates this sense of flexibility, it helps us to eat that extra piece of cake now and then, and we just change up the amount of exercise that we have to do as a result. So when we have that little piece of chocolate cake financially and buy that smart appliance or the latest styles or fashions, we can then swing the pendulum the other way to make up for that by saving or setting up the saving first. Amazing how that works. And since we're on the savings topic, let's talk about saving first. It is called a savings and spending plan for a reason, because we must save first. And when we save first, we then can only live on what's left over. So if we think about how we set up our savings and spending plan, instead of saying, okay, I've got $100 out of this paycheck, and I've got, you know, all this stuff that I got to pay for. And oops, well, after I paid my bills and after I took and bought all my stuff, I don't have any money left to save. So if we do it according to our savings and spending plan and we save first, so we take our 10% off the top. So instead of having $100 to work with and hope we get to save, we only have $90 to work with right out of the gate. So we've taken care of our savings up front. And the reason why it's so important that we do that is because we have these two minds, if you will, these two little people. Some people refer to them as dragons, but you've got these opposing forces. You've got now me, who wants instant gratification, now, 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 and you have future me, the person who's going to need to be gratified, but not today. And what happens is you get now me saying, I can do this later. I can save later. I can make this later. And what happens is later never comes, because then when later does get here, it's now again. So if we don't give future me some cojones to say to now me, wait a minute, slow down, because you're going to stick me with this big problem because you're not saving now. When you get to me, when it gets to be my turn, when future me comes around, then there's not going to be anything there because you're leaving it up to future me to get all this stuff done. But what happens is future me never quite gets around. And because we're driven, and we're wired this way. So now that you understand that you're wired for instant gratification, you're not wired for future me. And part of the reason is because now me can tell what happens when we get to eat that piece of cake, spend that money, take that trip, buy that new car, pair of shoes, smart gadget, whatever it is. We know what that feels like. We can understand that. We can embrace that. It's tangible. But when we talk about something like retirement, quality of life savings, college funds for kids perhaps, that's kind of abstract. And not only is it abstract, but it's also off into the future. And so because it's not something that we can really physically touch or feel or understand, and because it's in the future, and now me has more cojones than future me does, now me usually wins. And this dates back to the caveman days, because they were only concerned about their safety right now and their pleasure right now, because they didn't know if there was going to be a future, because who knew if, as we were turning around this blind corner, that we might not be stepping into a dinosaur's mouth. So we're wired this way for instant gratification, for taking care of the now me, not future me. So if we set up our savings first and get it taken care of, poof, right out of the gate, and that 10% is set aside, bye-bye, now me can be satisfied on what's left over. And now me will have to learn to live with that, because future me got his due out of the gate. It's not a question. It's not a negotiation. He comes first. Future me has to be paid attention to first. Think of future first. You got two F's there. So as future me gets pacified right away, and he doesn't have to be negotiated up against, you can live on what's left. And still, you know, if you've got $100 and you've got $90, how much of a difference is that $10? Today, it's a negligible amount. But in the future, that $10 today can mean hundreds of dollars down the road set aside for the future. Because when the future gets here and now me wants stuff, but because nothing was set aside, now me is not going to be gratified. So you got to rationalize with the now me saying, look, I'm doing this for you, buddy. And future me has to step up and say, this is for you. I'm thinking of you, man. And get that savings part right out of the way up front. And once that's taken care of, you got 90 left to live on. That is still a lot. And then what happens if you live on less than the 90? Goodness gracious, you have extra? Well, you can wick that away for future me, or not so future me, short-term future me. You have more options. And that's what is so beautiful about the savings and spending plan. Now, in order to understand specifically how the savings and spending plan works, we need to get to our nuts. But first, to have a
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostess. And we were talking right before the break about how to break our budget and become a healthy savings and spending planner. Woohoo! So when we think about what it is that we need to be doing financially with ourselves in order to get past the garbage that we have come up with so far and dealing with the battle between now me and future me, wouldn't it be great if we could take these concepts and apply them to our everyday life? And yeah, we can. So what we need to do, and this plays into our nuts and bolts for this week's key, is understand how we go about breaking our budget. So if you're joining us for the first time, we're glad to have you, and you're going to have to do a little bit of extra homework because you're going to have to go back and listen to the episode with our second key and our third key in order to get up to speed on how to do the break the budget part. But essentially, what you need to do is pull out all of your receipts from your assessment envelope that you created in week two for our take action, make assessment. And you also need to pull out your dreams with deadlines strategy. And you're going to sort through all of those receipts, then put them in categories. And as you start adding these categories up and seeing what your expenditures have been for any given 30-day period, you're going to say, ask yourself some questions. Is this high unusually in this category? Am I surprised by some of the numbers? Are they too low? Did I overestimate how much I spent in this particular category, say eating or entertainment or business stuff? Or am I spending, did I underestimate? Am I spending more? And if you look at it from that perspective and also look at it from a cyclical perspective, and when I say cyclical, we behave differently at the beginning of the paycheck versus the end of the paycheck. And we also behave differently at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month. And that's because mortgages are due, rent is due, things like that. All of our bills have to be paid within the first couple of weeks, usually of a month. And when we just get paid, we're high on the hog. We're like, woohoo, first round's on me. And then when we get to the end of the paycheck, we're like, dude, can I bum a cigarette? Can I bum a ride? I don't have any cab fare. Can you buy me this round? Like Wimpy, I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today from Popeye. I'm dating myself for those of you who remember watching Popeye cartoons. And so if you see any of that stuff, kind of take a step back and say, why? What is driving this behavior to cause me to do these things? And what we want to do is kind of level out the cyclical nature and create stability. So as we come up with our healthy savings and spending plan, and we set aside our savings first, and we have to learn to live on what's left over, you're going to have to make choices here. And when I say choices, the first thing that might be coming to your mind is sacrifice. And it's not about sacrifice. It's about saying, I can have this, just not right now. Or I can have this later. Right now, I want to focus on A, eliminating my frivolous debt. I want to focus on B, creating a emergency fund. So I want to have resources available for that. I want to name your goal, small, immediate, short-term financial goal here. So we want to think of those things, and we want to make sure that we pull out our dreams with deadlines strategy, because in there, that's where we listed what our long-term, mid, and short-term financial goals are. And so when we reflect from that perspective, then we're able to more effectively tweak our savings and spending plan. But remember, savings is non-negotiable. And the key is we're going to start with 10%. And by the way, if you're setting that aside in a qualified retirement program, you may want to consult with your CPA or tax attorney, because I am not one. But you may want to adjust your allowances on your paychecks, because instead of having to get the money back at the end of the tax year, perhaps you could use that money better now. Wouldn't that be great? And if you know you're going to owe less, you can change your withholdings. Now, what that is, I don't know. I'm not looking at your specific plan. So again, I am not a CPA tax attorney, but you need to consult one, because they can help you shape that. You want to kind of break even, because if you get a refund back, it's not bonus for you. It's actually an interest-free loan you gave Uncle Sam to party on. And I don't know about you, but he ain't my favorite relative. I have had more than enough run-ins with Uncle Sam, State Sam, and the like, and I'm not a big fan. So if you are not a big fan or don't want to become a big fan and are not in the business of interest-free lending, then perhaps you may want to adjust your allowances. But in any case, you want to make sure that you're saving that money off the top, and if you adjust your allowances, it could be a quid pro quo. It could be like this nice little wash that you up your allowances by the amount of money that you want to be saving. It'd be kind of a cool deal. So then your 90% left over is a true 90% left over. And when you're working with that 90%, that's how you figure out the way to eliminate debt. And not only eliminate debt, but figure out how can I start accumulating assets. Now we're going to go back to our knowledge checklist from our knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful, and answering those three questions and five areas of concern, because we can do that now that we're able to break the budget and create our healthy savings and spending plan, because we'll now have all of the pieces to that puzzle. How great is that? So if you need more resources on how to accomplish this, just visit the website at www.unlockyourwealthradio.com and click on this week's key. So for our nuts and bolts for this week's key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series for Key 7, Break the Budget, our key statement is, I know that trying to create and stick to a budget is a losing proposition because it can mean sacrifice and not truly address my financial challenges. Therefore, to be truly financially independent, I must create and stick to a realistic, healthy savings and spending plan. Our key affirmation for this week is, I have and live by a healthy savings and spending plan. This is important. For those of you joining us for the first time, we say our affirmations several times throughout the day. The first time is right before bed because it sets up our subconscious mind to create new neural pathways so we can act as if this is already happening to us. And then when we wake up rested and refreshed, the first thing we do is we pull out our affirmation worksheets again and we review our affirmations out loud to ourselves to focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose of the day. It's not rolling over, kissing the spouse or significant other, letting the poochie out to do his business, taking the kids to school, picking up the dry cleaning, finding a way to get the kids to their soccer practices, and, oh, work a job yourself. Yeah. So that's not our higher purpose. Our higher purpose is to create wealth and happiness for our family and financial independence. And so the next time you say your affirmations is anytime you encounter negativity in your day, because somebody at some point, whether you know them or not, it could be the guy that cuts you off in traffic and makes you want to road rage, can upset your apple cart, can rain on your parade, try to ruin your day, but you will not let that happen because you're going to be focused on your higher purpose. And so all these things are going to just be water on a duck's back, woohoo, right off, because you're going to pull out your affirmations and you're going to say them again out loud to yourself to refocus your brain on what it is you truly desire, not choking the daylights of that guy that just cut you off in traffic when you're already running late, and he should know that. So, and yes, I'll answer the question right up front. Some days it feels like all you're doing is saying your affirmations. I've had those days, trust me. But it's super important that you keep focused and don't let anyone or anything derail you from your higher purpose. And our key commitment that you need to make for yourself and your family this week is, I commit to designing and living by a healthy savings and spending plan that suits me and my family. And that's key, because we're not just committing to a new way of doing things, but we're committing to designing and living by a healthy savings and spending plan that suits me and my family. And when we make a commitment to take action, that's the highest form of action that we can take, is a commitment to ourselves and to our family. So we want to make sure we get our key commitment. And your key action item for this week is to categorize your assessment envelope. Analyze your expenditures in each area. Are they what you thought they would be? Pull out your with deadline strategy and further evaluate your needs versus wants. Balance them with your goals. And work on your essential wants and figure out how we can reallocate those non-essential wants after we create our savings plan and eliminate our debt so we can begin to take control of our financial future. These are just some examples of what you can do when it comes to creating your savings and spending plan. Please visit this week's strategy at www.unlockyourwealthradio.com. And comment. We would love to find out new and additional ways and how you are using the Savings and Spending Plan worksheet to overcome your financial issues. I'm Heather Wagenhall saying thank you so much for joining us here at Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'd like to thank my guest, Leslie H. Tain, Esquire from New York, our debt settlement specialist who shared all kinds of great information. And for her information, please link from her show page on our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com. where you and other listeners go to learn how to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. I'm Heather Wagenhall saying thanks so much for joining us this week, and we'll look forward to chatting with you soon. Go out and make it a money-savvy day.